How's it going, everybody? Brian Alvarez and Dave Meltzer here on Wrestling Observer Radio. It is October 23rd, 2012, here at figure4online.com/WrestlingObserver.com. We have the Raw report to talk about today. I was going to talk a little bit of SmackDown, which we didn't talk about yesterday. And I don't know if you saw Saturday Morning Slam, Dave. But
I didn't see it.
Have you ever seen that show?
Yeah, I watched it once, yeah.
I never saw it until this past Saturday because I had to see Daniel Bryan and his match with Tyson Kidd, which was a fun little match. It was nothing spectacular or anything like that, but it was entertaining. And man, oh man, I've talked about before, it's a show designed for kids. That is a show designed for little tiny children. I loved Santino's job as a commentator. It's basically to play the role of a four-year-old who has 1,000 questions, and he basically just asks them all, who's that? What is he doing? Is he mad? And it was something to see. But
they're getting good ratings with that show.
Yeah. I've gotten a lot of emails from people that have said, me and my kids love the show. And, you know, I think that, like, for me, I don't have any kids, but I got a lot of friends around my age that do have kids, and all my friends were the people that were like in their early 20s during the Monday Night Wars, mid-20s, and they grew up watching all of this craziness, insanity, and they were big fans, everything like that. But now they're parents, they've got kids, and all they want is like a wrestling show that they can watch with their kids that's only an hour long. And this is like the perfect show for them as a family. Mm-hmm. So it doesn't surprise me at all that this show does decent numbers. Now, On the other hand, Raw. This show was too long. We're back to this again.
I mean, it's always going to be, but...
There have been a couple of shows that were all right for 3 hours, but this one...
Really, only like maybe two or three so far since July.
Yeah.
And this one... I don't know. It was okay, but it was kind of, like when it was over, I kind of felt like, other than the AJ storyline, and I there was a few things actually that I liked. I mean, I liked that they're getting that Eve Torres thing back, and they're going somewhere with that. But as far as building up the pay-per-view, I thought that the final segment was pretty good with Ryback and everything. But I'm not feeling Sheamus and Big Show and. Orton and Del Rio, I mean, they did the best that they could, given that Orton's not there. But I don't know. I think the build to the pay-per-view is better than a lot of pay-per-views. The John Cena interview where he was doing Ryback's interview for him was hilarious.
That was a good one.
Yeah, I mean, it just cracked me up. It reminded me of, like the old days when you had a babyface who couldn't talk to save their life and somebody else had to do the interview for him. It's like... Ryback needs like a babyface manager, and the other thing with that is that so he doesn't have to ever talk, and then they can get heat one time by like pile driving his babyface manager, and so then he can he has a reason to go for revenge against some heel, so something, anything, John Cena talking for him, just it was hilarious. But I mean, seriously, it doesn't cut it at all. I think it makes John Cena look really, really bad in a lot of ways.
Well, let's talk about this show. It opened up in the ring. Number one contenders tag team tournament final. Rey Mysterio was back. He was ready to wrestle. So him and Sin Cara faced Cody Rhodes and Damian Sandow. They had a fine match. It was a pretty good match. It was a good opener. It was fun. And they did a spot where, at the end, Mysterio did his big comeback. He hits a double 619. He gives a big splash on Cody, and Sandow broke it up by essentially diving onto the mat where the ref was about to slap it for the third time. So the ref slapped Sandow's back instead of the mat, so that counted as not a pinfall. So
that's kind of ridiculous.
I had to watch it three times before I figured out it was...
I couldn't even figure out what it was. I thought he was supposed to make the save and never got there.
It looked very awkward, and so I rewound it, and they actually did exactly what they were intending. But for all the people in the building that didn't have the benefit of instant replay, there was a lot of booing because they thought something got screwed up. But no, that is exactly what they were trying to do. Sandow didn't break it up. He just got in the way of the hand, which resulted in it not being a three count. So Cody ended up hitting Ray with the crossroads, got the pin. So it is going to be Cody Rhodes and Damian Sandow against Daniel Bryan and Kane for the tag titles at the pay-per-view this coming Sunday. And there was more to come with these men later on because the show is 3 hours and they got to fill it up. We had a bunch of clips of them going to Egypt and talking about how much fun they had, that sort of deal. We had Kofi Kingston.
Kane Daniel Bryan did cut a promo on him.
That's right, on the Road Scholars.
Yeah.
We had Kofi Kingston and Michael McGillicuddy having a match here on Raw. Kofi won. Miz was on commentary. He was upset that Kofi had beat him for the title. And they announced that Miz would, in fact, be wrestling later against the Ryback. So they are trying to kill him, I have determined.
Yeah.
And also, there's going to be a Miz-Kofi rematch for the title at the pay-per-view on Sunday.
Yeah, the McGillicuddy, I thought, looked pretty good in this match. I mean, he doesn't have a prayer. I mean, the crowd, like, already, like, turned him off and actually turned this match off with the minute it started because they just saw it as, like, a waste of their time. But McGillicuddy wrestled well.
Cena came out for his interview, and I could be wrong. I have been on occasion, but I believe this happened pretty much exactly when the debate began, the presidential debate. So I think that's why he came out at 8:30, actually. So he announced that...
What he's going to do a crappy interview, so they're going to keep people from watching the debate?
Well, I figure as soon as the debate started, they were going to trot something out, and here he was.
Oh, you're probably right.
So he announced that, as you noted, he was going to do Ryback's promo for him, and he did. And that actually, it was hilarious watching a man do a promo for another man. And
well, it's not so much a man do a promo for another man. It's like,
well, this guy, John Cena, did Ryback's promo.
A promo for another guy.
Yeah,
was just so weird. I mean, and just
that was not weird.
I just thought he came off like a complete geek.
He was talking for the other guy.
Yeah.
So Punk came out and did some cheap heat. Made fun of the Giants, that sort of thing. And talked about being the champion for 337 days.
He didn't really make fun of the Giants.
Well,
he praised the San Francisco Giants.
Yeah. He said the Giants were awesome, but not these Giants. Just mocking them. Made fun of them.
Yeah. So no, he said he's a huge Giants fan, but the San Francisco Giants.
Yeah, the other Giants.
Yeah.
So Cena challenged Punk to a match, saying that, in fact, his elbow was... he was medically cleared, he claimed. And Punk, of course, went down to the ring, and then Paul dragged him off.
Medically cleared, he'd done something tonight.
That's right. So that was a lie on the part of John Cena.
Won't be the last one.
I did love Paul dragging Punk to the back and telling him, "You don't fight for free."
Yeah, I thought that was actually pretty good.
It was great.
That.
He's done it a couple of times when he drags him to the back.
Yeah.
So. That was that segment. We had Antonio Cesaro and Justin Gabriel. This was done to set up, presumably, a U.S. title match, likely on YouTube, I would guess, on Sunday, but who knows?
If it was me on YouTube, wouldn't you think they would actually say it?
Well, they didn't even announce it would be taking place Sunday. They said that he would likely be in line for a title shot, which I'd presume takes place Sunday, so I suspect they'll say it on SmackDown or on the main event on Wednesday.
They usually don't promote anything on the main event on Wednesday, so it's possible they'll announce it on SmackDown, but I think that they're not doing a YouTube show, because if they were, they would have announced it tonight. I mean, they didn't even announce that there would be a YouTube show at all.
Hmm. Well, they're probably going to have a match on Sunday, somewhere or another.
Yeah, I would expect it on the main show, because they only got 5 matches on the main show.
Yeah,
so,
right.
I mean, I would expect, you know, adding like a women's match and a Cesaro and a Gabriel match.
Gabriel beat him with the 450. I liked the match. It was fun. Nobody cared. But,
it was a good match, though. These guys always have good matches. Cesaro's really good.
He is.
You know, he carries himself like a star, and I guess his hand's all messed up, too.
They claim he had torn tendons in his hand from a match a while back, which I presume is true because it played no...
Yeah, it was all taped up, and it had nothing to do with... It's not like they worked on the hand or anything.
Yeah.
And, Gabriel's good, so, you know... I'm glad to see him getting a win.
Vince arrived with AJ. They'd announced that she... I always love this. There was an emergency meeting of the board of directors. They suddenly decided at 8 o'clock p.m. during Raw on Monday that they must have a meeting today, now. So, of course, she was late for the show. So Vince and AJ come out, and Vince says the board of directors had a meeting, and AJ is going to tell you what they said. And AJ announced that after this meeting, she was announcing her resignation as the general manager of Raw. She said there were rumors of her fraternizing with a member of the WWE roster, which she denied. She didn't mention who, although we did find out later. And she said that people had called her unstable before, but hey, everybody loves a crazy chick, which I'm not sure who she's talking about, because I sure don't. But
I don't either.
No. So she...
You're talking from experience now, right?
Actually, long ago. Not recent experience, but long ago.
Not recent. Forget it. I'm not going to go there. I'm not going to go there.
Anyway, this has nothing to do with me, everybody. AJ was out there, and she was talking about... She actually kind of gave like a shoot resignation promo in the sense that she talked about how hard her life was, and it was so tough growing up, and she grew up nearby, and she never had anything, and she ended up being in charge of this company and this and that. And
she was in charge of the company?
Well, she was GM of Raw.
Oh, God.
Yeah. So anyway, she was nearly weeping and everything like that. So they announced that her replacement for the time being as the managing supervisor of Raw, as if they don't have enough names for the person in charge of this show for the time being. She's now the managing supervisor. It's Vicky Guerrero.
What I loved about the managing supervisor is that, like, later in the show, when Vince was trying to figure out what it was, he didn't even know what it was.
Yeah. So she's the, they couldn't just say interim general manager, of course. That's just, you know.
Well, that's because they
can't recycle
they
that
use
one.
That term for John Laurinaitis.
Yes. So it's now like, she's the managing supervisor.
Like, they're going to have to do it like a new term every time they switch, like, authority figures.
So.
They can have a manager, they can have a coach, they can have a hit, I don't know.
The key is...
They could have a principal of Raw.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
The dean.
Superintendent of Raw.
The dean.
A dean, yeah.
That could be
a governor.
A governor, sure.
Yeah.
Anyway, the point is, this is a temporary assignment for the time being.
So they figure out what they're doing next week.
Yeah. So she announced that Sheamus and CM Punk in a lumberjack match was going to be the main event after Paul sucked up to her. Paul had also attempted to get Vince to give him the job, which obviously was not going to happen.
Didn't she or somebody else who said that like you shouldn't give that away with like no build?
Give what away?
Remember about 2 months ago they were pushing the idea of a Sheamus.
I see, yes.
Punk match on TV.
Well, it's already been given away with no build, so who cares now?
Okay. I guess you're right.
So she, anyway, I thought that Paul was great trying to get a job. I thought
yeah,
that
Paul was good. Was
I
good.
Thought that Vicky was absolutely awesome as a heel. She ended up just going off on AJ, which of course led to AJ attacking her, and they had a cat fight and that sort of thing. And
so the thing is, I don't even want to make logic out of this, but so she attacks the person in charge, and there's like no, like she's not fired or anything.
Well, I think the idea is we don't know what her status is, and that she essentially doesn't have a job right now, so she's unemployed.
Wait a minute.
What's AJ's job?
She's a superstar or a diva or whatever they're called.
Well, she was, but then she became the GM. So now that has
she's,
been...
Wait, what do you think? She's going to be gone? She's not going away.
Well, no, she's not going to be gone. But what's Vicky going to do? Sign her to a match?
Probably.
Maybe she will fire her next week. Or maybe she'll be about to fire her, and someone will come out and say, hold on a second. You're no longer the supervising, aisle manager.
The checkout clerk.
Yeah, you're no longer the checkout clerk on Raw.
Yeah.
So you can't fire her. You're fired. There's all sorts of goofy things they can do.
Yeah.
But I did like that Vicky was absolutely completely hated by this crowd, and she got so much heat, and she was...
She's like the only one on the show that really did.
What a great heel she is. Her just going off
on
AJ.
Here's the thing. Okay. So AJ was fired for fraternizing, and like Vicky, when she was like general manager, was like married to somebody.
Well, yeah, it was
okay.
Yeah, because there's a difference. She was married to the guy, whereas AJ reportedly had an illicit affair. That's not okay.
Wasn't she having an affair before she got married?
Well, so was AJ, but you're thinking too hard about this.
No, I'm just...
It's all lies anyway.
I mean, I'm not thinking that hard because I don't think, you know, there's no point in... It's like this stuff just hits you in the head. You don't have to think.
Well...
I mean, it's like she's getting bounced for something that, like...
Yeah, that's part of the storyline.
Every single other one did. I mean, Teddy was having... Wasn't Teddy Long, like, having an affair with Bobby Lashley's wife or something?
But we have to presume then, Dave, that the board of directors is paying attention to any of these storylines.
Oh, I get it. That's right, they're not paying any attention, and it was just because...
The board is clueless. They got a call.
Keith Torres squealed on her.
Yeah, they got a call, and so they had to act.
Okay, I see.
They don't know. They don't understand wrestling, all of this debauchery and such that goes on backstage. They're busy running the corporate end.
Okay.
I don't know.
All right.
Anyway.
Well, Jim Ross should have said all that.
Next week.
Okay.
Let's not get ahead of ourselves. Yeah. They got in a fight. We had the Ryback and the Miz. Ryback killed him. Miz actually took less of a beating than I expected, but he still had his head
nasty power bomb.
Bounce off the...
No, actually wasn't. That was on another show that somebody took a nasty power bomb.
It was a sidewalk slam that he bounced his head.
Yeah. He got the spine buster, yeah.
Mm-hmm. So, of course, Ryback won. We had a segment with Eve backstage. She's on the phone talking about this situation with AJ, and Caitlin walks up.
She said that AJ was having an affair with Primo and Zack Ryder and probably some other people, too.
Mm-hmm. So Caitlin's like, you know, I saw what was on your iPad. I've got a photo of it here on my phone. And she shows Eve, and Eve is appalled, and fight breaks out. Layla gets involved, screaming, clothes ripping, referees, that sort of thing. It's all stemmed from an angle on SmackDown where Eve was typing something on her iPad, and her and Booker went to attend to some business, and she just put her iPad down right next to Caitlin.
So No, Teddy.
Teddy, that's
it.
Right, Teddy.
Teddy stole the iPad and gave it to Caitlin.
That's right.
Took pictures of it.
That's right.
Yeah.
But the point is, why did Eve just put her iPad down there? What an idiot.
Why did she do that? You put her iPad and leave?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's why would you ever do that?
She's not very smart.
Definitely not.
At least in terms of putting all that stuff on your iPad and then not locking it.
Yeah, no kidding.
We had Sheamus backstage goofing around, and Big Show walked up and told him he better get serious or he was going to kill him. Daniel Bryan and Dolph Ziggler. They had a fun match until a lame finish, which, of course, you know, Dolph Ziggler bumped all over the place. They did a lot of...
I thought this was like one of the best match on Raw in a while.
Yeah.
It was really good.
So, finish was Dolph... what happened here?
He did the X Factor off the middle rope spot. That was awesome.
That's right.
And then Kane
distraction.
Yes, and cheer on Bryan, but Daniel Bryan was so mad he started yelling no, which distracted him, and then...
middle rope
zigzag off the middle ropes and pinned him.
Yep. So that was a fun match. And then Bryan and Kane got in an argument. Keep in mind, everybody, I believe the match went through at least one commercial break. So after the match is over, Bryan and Kane argue. And then Matt Stryker comes out and he says, we're going to do a game. We're going to play, instead of the newlyweds game, the newly tag game. And their opponents will be the Rhodes Scholars. So then we go to another commercial, come back, they're still in the ring. We've got Daniel Bryan and Kane in chairs. They do some goofy comedy. Rhodes Scholars come out on the ramp. They all yell at each other.
They refused to play the game.
Didn't want to play the game, which meant that Daniel Bryan and Kane won via forfeit, so Bryan was very happy. And then that led to Big Show and Kane... Which Big Show...
Well, Matt Stryker had to run away.
That's right.
So doing something, because Matt Stryker, like, Matt Stryker like said to them, you know, something like, wasn't like I should wish you two luck, but I won't, or something like that.
Yeah, they beat him up repeatedly.
Yeah, so it was like a way where like they're trying to make him into this heel to get beat up again. He's getting beat up again.
The point of this is
is that they had an idea for a game and then they didn't do it.
No. The point of this is, between Daniel Bryan versus Dolph Ziggler, the game that ended up not being played, and Big Show versus Kane, and then the Road Scholars beating him up afterwards, Kane was on national television, I think, for approximately a half hour, as well as Daniel Bryan.
Let me look at this. I think it's more than that, even.
That was when I realized, listen, I like Daniel Bryan, I like Kane, I like the Road Scholars.
It was probably...
This segment did not need to go this long.
I would say every bit of 40 minutes.
40 minutes!
Yeah.
That right there was, this show's too long.
Yeah,
nothing against the guys, but 40 minutes of these guys?
Yeah.
Consecutively?
Well, they got confidence in them.
I'm sure they do.
But I don't know why they would. I mean, it's like, they haven't. It's not like they've exactly been knocking them dead in the ratings every week.
Well, tonight, it's bad tonight, night. Dave, these poor guys.
Tonight. Listen. You know the ratings tonight. It was they. You know, if ever there's a night, this might as well be the New Year's Eve show. You know what I mean? It's like whatever the number is, you can throw that out the window because it's like it ain't going to mean anything other than I have a feeling that Ryback's going to win the title because they're going to panic when the number comes in. But who knows?
So we had AJ and Cena in the back, and AJ admitted, first John's like, if you ever need anything, I'm there for you. And she admits, it was you that I was accused of having an affair with. And he was shocked. And he said, wait a second, we went for a dinner, but it was a business dinner. How did this get construed this way?
Well, maybe because last week on TV he asked her out.
Well.
He did.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I as soon as like they said he was fraternizing, I thought, well, John Cena asked her out.
And
she was texting him back.
Yeah.
Later in the show.
And Vince, when Cena later went to confront Vince said, listen, there is, what did he say, compelling evidence or some sort of strong evidence. Maybe Vince watched the Hogan sex tape and got confused. How about that for a storyline? So, anyway... Vince said, you know, it is what it is, he said, and he got into his limo, and Cena's very upset about this turn of events. He's innocent, he claims, and she has been wronged, all because of the managing supervisor, Vicky Guerrero.
Yeah.
Alberto Del Rio beat Zack Ryder with the armbar, and then armbarred him again, longer, tried to break his arm.
He was yelling at him, tap, Randy.
That's right.
That was the best they could do since Randy wasn't there.
Yeah.
And Ricardo was screaming his name. I thought it was great when Jim Ross called Del Rio's father Dos Caras, like he was Alex's, you know, brother or something.
Maybe he's masked. Maybe he is.
So he would be the nephew. So like Alex Caras and Mil Máscaras are actually brothers. And,
yeah.
And Alberto Del Rio is like the nephew of Alex Caras.
Yep.
Okay.
Well,
right,
that one
down. Great idea that they could go feud with the Bruiser.
Well, there's an issue there.
Yeah, Bruiser's dead.
We had John Cena backstage talking to Vicky. Vicky said, John, you cost AJ her job. Vicky was such a great heel. Vicky's line earlier in the show when she told AJ to go pack up her Barbies and get out.
Yeah, that was cute.
That was awesome.
Yeah.
So we had Heyman and Punk. Heyman basically giving Punk a pep talk. Lumberjacks came out. And then we had the goddamn longest match of all time.
It was only 18 minutes.
Only 18?
Hey, look, on every pay-per-view, the main event's usually more than 18.
I know you're right. This match felt like it was 4 hours long.
It wasn't...
No one cared.
You know, I mean, it was really weird because you had champion against champion. They're both really pushed. There wasn't much heat. The match was... It was like there was nothing wrong with the match and there was nothing right with the match. I think all those lumberjacks out there take away from a match anyway. What the... You know the thing I got to say is... It's like... what the hell is it like where they come up with this idea of a gimmick match, like lumberjack match? Okay, there's nothing wrong with that. I mean, it's, you know, it's a gimmick that's gone around God knows how long, 50 years or something, right? But I mean, so they do a lumberjack match. When they come up with it, it's like they have to do it on every house show and both TV shows in the same week. It's like, wouldn't you like do it and then like come back with it like in a year or something or 6 months? I mean, it's like we just had a lumberjack on match on SmackDown, and now we got a lumberjack match. It's like somebody just, hey, let's make it lumberjack month. Maybe that's what they should do. It's like,
I'll bet you anything that somebody on Monday,
we should do a theme on television.
I'll bet you anything
we can be messed up like our pay per views and just have these matches for no, you know, like a lumberjack match for no reason whatsoever other than, I guess it's a way to, you know, I mean, even like the, you know, I guess it's a way to like kill time because you do smoke and mirrors, but it's like Punk and Sheamus don't really need that. I mean, I could see Punk and Ryback as a lumberjack match, I get, because they can have all those guys fighting out of the ring and it kind of keeps you away from the fact that, you know, it buys you time that Ryback doesn't have to sell. So I get that, but this one, it's like, if Sheamus and Punk had a match and those guys weren't out there, it'd been a lot better match.
I presume that on Monday, they rewrote the entire script and they completely forgot there'd been a lumberjack match on SmackDown.
I don't believe that. Hmm. I mean, if it was 2 weeks ago, I believe it, but not on Friday. That's too soon.
Friday, they wrote it on Tuesday, and I'm sure nobody watched the show on Friday. It's been a whole 6 days.
I don't think that. I'm not saying every member of the writing team would know, but I would think that like 2/3 of them would remember that. Like, yeah, we just had a lumberjack match. I think that's part of it. Is just like it's lumberjack month, so.
Maybe that could be a theme pay-per-view.
I said that, sort of. A themed week. Like instead of
a theme pay-per-view.
Well, themed months on television.
Every November, we've got Lumberjack. What would they call it?
We're in October. But like, you know, every November, we could have, like, strap matches. Like, on every single show, we could have a strap match.
You got to call it the Lumberjack Slam, sponsored by Denny's.
Yeah. We could have the remember, Dusty used to do the Bunkhouse Stampede for a month.
Mm-hmm.
They could do, or you know what they could do? They could do the last man standing match and then never deliver it.
Yeah? Like this weekend?
That, you know that in Trenton, they also advertised last man standing?
Well, at the time, I'm sure it was, I don't know what the idea was. Because if it was supposed to be Punk and Cena, then they still would have had
No. It was advertised Punk and Ryback. Cena had already been injured.
Well, I mean, originally it would have been Punk and Cena in a last man standing match, right?
Very, very possibly.
So how would they have done the finish then?
Punk would have won. Probably, you know, belt
he would have beat John Cena last man standing match at a house show?
Yeah, belt shot.
I find that hard to believe, but I guess you're right.
Yeah, they could do a belt shot, but here they can't do it, so they just had to switch the... maybe they didn't even think of it. Maybe they just booked it, and then all of a sudden, the week of the show, like this time, because they were still advertising it, you know, in all those cities. Maybe the week of the show, they would have come up and gone, God, what are we going to do here? Let's just not do it.
Speaking of, the Lumberjack match on SmackDown was way better than the one on Raw.
Well, that's because it wasn't 3 hours. But, yeah, it was way better.
By the way, Ryback ran in and beat up Punk after all the Lumberjacks threw him back in for a beating. That's how Raw went off the air.
That's the powerbomb.
Yeah.
He gave Punk the powerbomb. Because he didn't give him the shell shock. And Punk, you know, ran away and, you know, got thrown over the top rope, too, later, after he got thrown. He kept getting thrown back in when he tried to run away.
Aside from the Lumberjack match on SmackDown, the only other match I have anything to say about is Miz and Randy Orton.
That was okay.
What I have to say about it is, Randy Orton is, I know he's doing a movie. I know he's just here because they need a body that's a star on SmackDown. But this dude is so just going through the motions.
Yeah, pretty much.
Just.
But you know what?
Doing some matches.
Even going through the motions, he doesn't do anything wrong.
No.
He's like, of the guys in that on that roster, he's probably right at near the top as far as like understanding how to be himself. You know,
that's because he is himself.
Yeah, but I mean, most of those guys are like trying to find themselves. I mean, like Rey Mysterio and Randy Orton, like in the ring, like they have their act together. You know, some of the other guys are close, but they have it completely. Like Randy Orton is totally like what Randy Orton should be.
Well, my point is, in these,
I shouldn't say that. He knows his character because, quite frankly, he should be a heel, and he knows he should be a heel too. And he's not, he's not happy, and he's doing a movie. And you know, when you're doing a movie like that, your mind's not going to be on wrestling anyway. So it's like that's as good as you're going to get.
Yeah. So yeah, Randy obviously beat Miz, and in the main event, we had Sheamus beating Wade Barrett.
That was a better match.
Yeah. That was really the two big stories on the show. Largely, it was
all the Caitlin and Eve stuff.
Yeah,
and Teddy and everything. I did think it was pretty good when she's lurking in the back as Teddy's coming up with his ideas. Then she runs to Booker with the ideas and says it's hers, and then says that Teddy's copying her and everything. It's like I kind of like that character, you know. Like it's at least it's different. I think it's like kind of cool. And what else was on that show? There's something else that I liked on that show. What was it? I don't know.
Rhodes Scholars and Damian Sandow and Gabriel Kidd.
That was okay. That was short. It was all right. I think Wade Barrett.
Oh, he did a really good promo.
Really good promo. He just watching him in the ring. He like carries himself like a really big star, like they got something in him, you know. He should be something. The other thing I thought was just hilarious was when John Layfield was going about how he was naming all of these guys that were these bare knuckle fighters in England like from like 40 years ago, because what happened was William Regal, I guess, was telling John Layfield about these bare knuckle fighters that were famous when, you know, in another era, you know, when I guess when that they actually had those kind of fights. So he comes up with this story about how Wade Barrett's father, Larry Barrett, used to fight against these, you know, famous guys. And it's like
Larry Barrett.
It was like, wow, that was cool. I mean, it's like total, you know, whatever.
Well, maybe it's true, Dave. Let me Google Larry Barrett.
His name is what's his name? Isn't it Stu Sanders? It's not Barrett. It's Stu Bennett. Stuart Bennett. That's
right. You're right. Stu Bennett.
Sanders was his name when he came. It was the first name they gave him when he came over here.
Let's see.
How about Larry Bennett?
I like Larry Barrett.
Well, he's not going to be Larry Barrett. We already know that.
I just want to see if there is a Larry Barrett.
Well, I'm sure there is. It's because Barrett's a pretty famous name, and Larry's a pretty well-known name. There's probably hundreds of Larry Barretts.
Oh, how about this? Hold on. I found something interesting in Google.
Okay.
All right, you ready?
Yeah.
Okay, we kind of got it here. There's a book about sports in Chicago, and apparently there is some talk of amateur boxing, and one of the contributors is, in fact, a man named Larry Bennett.
He's a boxing writer?
Apparently, he's just a contributor to the book. I don't know what section he wrote.
So he's a boxing writer.
Could be.
Probably not his father. In Chicago? I don't think he grew up in Chicago.
Let's see.
Go Larry.
Actually, the book. Okay, the book is written by a man named Elliot Gorn. And one of the contributors is Larry Bennett, but the tie-in is that the author here also wrote a book called The Manly Art, Bare Knuckle Prize Fighting in America. So there you go.
But he's not from America. He's from England.
I think the story's bullshit, Dave.
Oh, you think so?
I think it might not be on the level. JBL may have been making it up.
Yeah.
That is
I was kind of under the impression he was making it up.
That's too bad.
Yeah.
That's too bad. All right, Hulk Hogan, give us the update on the court case here.
Well, there's no real update. That Gawker.com.
Actually, there's
website,
a big update.
The Gawker.com website's still playing that tape of his, and he tried to get them to. He tried to get a temporary injunction for them to take it down, and the judge said, "You didn't give me any proof that you're being damaged." So they're going to have another hearing, and he still may win, but You better have better proof, better evidence. Came in with no, the man came in with no evidence. I don't know, man. It's like, well, there's something fishy here. That's all I can say, because I can't see how it could be legal without his consent to have this thing everywhere. But I don't think he really can. I don't know what it is. There's something that's not like that. That's being said that's not true. there's probably a lot actually in this one, but this stuff doesn't add up at all.
So I guess they've got another hearing coming up to, I guess, talk more about this, I guess, is the deal. I'm still looking up Wade Barrett here.
What?
I Googled Wade Barrett and...
Larry Bennett, Preston, England.
His name is Stu Sanders, obviously.
No, Stu Bennett.
No, it says Stu Sanders here. Oh, Stu Alexander, Stu Bennett. So you're correct, yes. And it does, however, say parents, Andrew McNair, which I don't think is correct. The actor?
That's his father?
It's going to be tough since he was born in 1979.
His father was born in 1979?
That would make them the same age.
Yeah, I would say that's impossible.
Oh, actually, his father would have been one when he gave birth to young Wade Barrett.
Yeah, there's something wrong with that.
That's a rough upbringing.
What?
All right, let's go into MMA here. Matt Riddle... he's talked about his marijuana's failure at UFC 150, and he's claimed that...
In the Calgary show.
Yep. So is it 149? Regardless.
Calgary, I think, was 150.
Okay, 150. Regardless, he failed, and...
No, it was 149. 149. 150 was Denver.
All right, he failed, and a medical marijuana card is his claim, and he said that he stopped smoking 12 days before the show... And that he has stopped smoking 12 days before a show in the past and been fine. But this time... This time it didn't work. And he made sure to reiterate, I am not addicted to pot. I am not a stoner. I just have to do this for medical reasons.
Have you ever been around... Well, you haven't been around Matt Riddle.
No.
Which I have several times. I have never guessed that Matt Riddle smokes pot.
That's good.
No, I was being facetious, by the way. I thought it was like quite obvious.
Yeah.
I was hanging around with him in England. He wasn't smoking pot when I saw him. I'm just saying that.
But maybe he was just very stressed out that day.
No, but his like eyes were lit up at like 2 in the morning, like he probably had just gotten back from doing so. You know. I mean, he wasn't doing it for medicinal purposes, I don't think, though. As I recall.
Well, you were there before a fight, right?
Actually, it would have been after a fight.
And well, he definitely needed for medicinal purposes.
A that night in England too.
Yeah,
it was like 2 in the morning, and we were just talking about. Well, we were actually talking about professional wrestling, believe it or not.
Really?
Yeah. He's a big pro wrestling fan.
About that.
Yeah. He said people try to contact him to become a pro wrestler, but that's actually was the conversation. You know, which
did you alert him of the pot tax in WWE?
We never got to that level of a conversation.
Huh. We've also got UFC Brazil buy rate. Well, not the buy rate, but seems to have done about 400,000 buys.
Let's just say between 340 and 410 to be on the safe side.
To be on the safe side.
Yeah, we'll just say to be on the safe side, it was in that range. But
I did predict this show would do better than people expected.
Yeah, a lot of people were thinking it was not going to do well. And I thought it would do reasonably good. And I would call those numbers reasonably good by today's standards. I mean, it was, you know. I think the thing at the end when it comes to this number is that it just kind of like bothers me that people like... I feel like people are like snobs in the sense that, well, I don't think that they should have made this match. And it's like, if the people wanted to see it, and evidently, you know, I mean, it's not like it's like a bad number. It's a good number for today, especially for a Brazil show. You know what I mean? It's the biggest show that, it's the biggest number they've ever done from Brazil. And it's like, if that's the case, if people want to see it, what's so freaking bad about it? If people want to see If they're able to promote a fight, I mean, I wouldn't want to promote a fight as the Rocky fight, you know, the million to one odds, okay? I mean, every month, that would be really stupid. But like I said, you can do, if you do something once, and it's, and you promote, you know, I mean, one of the reasons that this match worked was because it was Stephen Bonner, not because, it didn't not work because it was Stephen Bonner. I mean, Stephen Bonner, he was doing a great job of building this fight up. The commercials were great. I mean, they were outstanding. And it's like, so what's wrong? I mean, it was a one-sided fight, don't get me wrong, but people wanted to see it. And they knew what it was going in, and they wanted to see if the odds would come in. And they knew who Stephen Bonner was. I think part of that is the fact that they knew Stephen Bonner was, and they knew he didn't deserve it, and they wanted to see it anyway. So what's the negative of doing that fight when it makes you money at the end of the day, and the people, and like, if nobody wants to see it, I mean, at the end of the day, if the public doesn't want to see it, then you learn a lesson. And if the public does want to see it, then you learn a lesson. And I feel like there's people who are putting their heads in the sand and saying, I'm not going to learn this lesson. I'm just not going to learn it. And it's like, I don't know. That's just my feeling. It's like, if it had done terrible, then what would the sign be? Don't do it again. If it did, you know, it did reasonably well. I mean, and it doesn't really matter anyway, because at the end of the day, they had no choice. It's like, it was you know, Dana and I were texting about this fight. And I mean, the whole thing was at the end of the day, it's like, even if it didn't do well, it's like, it's not like we had any choice. It was a makeshift fight that we put on just to save a show. That's all it was. So even if it had done terrible, it's like, we saved the show. That's all. The people in Brazil had a good time. They had a pay-per-view that was actually a good pay-per-view. Okay, so that's what it is. It's not like they came out and they're sitting there in a meeting and it's like, let's put on Anderson. You know, it's like, let's put on Anderson Silva and Bonner in a fight. I mean, they would never have done that. Except what happened was you know, they had no main event, and Anderson said he would fight at 205, and it was like, well, who can we get to fight him at 205? And every single guy they have at 205 is either injured or booked. And then it's like, well, Bonner's retired. You know what I mean? I mean, he's not retired, but he's kind of retired. But he's free, and he's still under contract. And they called him up, and he said yes, and they did the fight, and people wanted to see it. So, I don't know. It's like it did, you know, it probably did close to twice as good as well, what am I saying? Do you think Aldo and Eric Koch would have done, let's say, 200?
Hell no. Guys? Don't even have to ask the question.
There's no way they'd have done 200. I don't even think they'd have done... I don't think they would have done more than 125. So they may have done triple what the original fight would have done. And nobody was crying about the original fight. And then they come up with something three times as good. I don't know. I'm just whatever. I don't know. I just don't understand any of this anymore. It's like you know, if you I don't know. It's kind of like your thing is to satisfy the public and to give the public something that they want to see, and there you go. So, and it ended up, you know, ended up being a good show. Main event wasn't so good, but it told a story, and you know, that was that. There's the guy on the front page of the site who wrote a really good thing, and it was actually, you know, he talked about the Fitch thing. I thought it was like a really good point about the Fitch thing in the sense that, you know, the John Fitch fight ended up getting over like really big. And part of the reason it got over so big was because there was like a storyline there that John Fitch came up with. And it wasn't fake, and it wasn't contrived, but it wasn't like, you know, it was just a story. And I mean, it still would have been a great fight even without the story. But the point is that the story did make it more interesting. And I mean, some of these guys, I mean, it really would be great if some guys like learned from, instead of saying learn from Chael Sonnen, learn from John Fitch of all people that, you know, come up with, you know, and Bonner had one too. I mean, Bonner had his, you know, the Bonner Silva fight, it had a story going in. I think that's, you know, if it didn't, it probably would have bombed or, you know, done a lot worse, but there was a story. It's the fights that have no story or that have a story that nobody gives a shit about. Those are the ones that bomb. Or main events that people just don't care about the two guys, which is unfortunately a problem some of the time too.
All right, let's do some of the questions here. We haven't done some of these for a while. This person says, just wondering if you or Dave know why some of these three-hour Raws are opening with no pyro or intro videos, or are they just starting the show as early as possible to avoid the temptation of changing the script one last time?
No, I think it's just on this one. I think that they just felt they needed to get action in the ring because they were afraid that, people would like tune out really fast. I don't think it's going to make a difference, but tonight was very clear that, they didn't want to, you know, they were doing really long segments and they were only keeping, you know, I mean, they did, other than the Kofi McGillicuddy thing, which they got in and out of really quick, they didn't spend a lot of time on people who in their minds weren't over because they just were so afraid of people switching. Although, my God, when they did that newly tagged game, I mean, I'm glad they didn't do that game, but I was thinking, like, if they do this game now, I get the train wreck idea, and it might have worked, but I just had this feeling that, like, just the way the people in New York, when they started doing it, how they were groaning, it was like, this isn't going to be the train wreck thing. This is going to be like everybody switching to a whatever they're switching to.
I got to mention something here that kind of is a pet peeve. I know they're cutting back on some expenses, saving money here and there on pyro and that sort of thing. But Brock Lesnar is the goddamn one of the biggest stars they've got. And that guy only appears sporadically. When Brock Lesnar used to always do his entrance, he had this this dramatic gesture he used to do. I don't even know how to describe it. But every time he did it during his entrance, giant pyro explosion would go off.
Yeah.
Ever since he came back, they've taken that away, and it looks so goofy because anybody who's watched Brock Lesnar for any length of time knows that as soon as he does that gesture, the stuff is supposed to go off, but it doesn't. It's like complete silence, and it just like, and then I see Brodus Clay come out, and he pulls his pants off, and the pyro goes off, and it's like, really, you can't give this pyro to Brock Lesnar, but you're okay giving this pyro to Brodus Clay. I don't know. It's a little thing, but...
No, you know what? That's insane. Seriously.
I don't know if I'm the only one that's ever noticed that, but it drives me nuts every time.
I mean, I haven't noticed it, but I mean, the idea that they would, you know, not do pyro for Brock Lesnar and do it for Brodus Clay, that's insane.
So anyway. Yeah. All right.
Speaking of which, now that you know, the Zoila Frosto, or Zoila Gergel, that's her real name now, but she's like the women's champion in Bellator. And she's fighting on Friday night, and it's in a dark match. And Misha Tate actually has just gone insane. But she's right in the sense that, you know, she's calling it sexist and all this. So anyway, Bjorn Rebney decided to answer that. And I read his answer, and I have no idea what the hell that guy was saying.
His answer was that she had been out of action for a long time.
Yeah.
And she had been hurt.
Yeah.
And she was fighting out of her weight class.
Yeah.
So I guess, therefore, she should fight on the undercard, and then they decide whether to put her on the main show next time. That's essentially the whole argument.
Okay, but here's the thing. I watched Bellator last week, and they advertised three matches for next week's show.
I don't think there's a single person you have to convince this is a bad argument, but go ahead.
Okay. But, I'm just saying, if they believe that, why did they advertise, you know, the return of world champion Zoila Gergel as one of the key selling points for next week's show if she's going to be in a dark match on television?
I don't know.
I mean, it's like if they hadn't advertised her on television, it wouldn't really be that big of a deal to me. I mean, I still would think it's kind of a slap in the face. I know why they did it because, you know, she said some stuff which you know, I guess that, you know, I don't know what the whole deal is, but she had knee surgery, and I think they said they were going to take care of it, and then they didn't take care of it, and then she went on, you know, somewhere and said they really didn't take care of it, even though they said they were, and kind of made them look bad. Or maybe she's full of it, and maybe they're not bad. I don't know what the thing is, but I actually probably will find out within the next day or so, just because I guess I got to know this. But the whole point is because of that, they're, you know, I'm guessing that's the reason. But then why advertise her? But, you know,
clearly one hand did not know what the other hand was doing. One person saw the lineup and thought, well, of course she's going to be on the main card, when in reality she wasn't going to be, and then it was too late.
Okay, but once she's advertising the main card, don't you make the switch, since you already advertised her?
Dave, this is a company that won't get out of the tournament format, even if they have a fight that everyone wants to see, to the point that guys are leaving because of this.
Yeah, I know.
So the answer is no, they won't change it.
Can you imagine? Here's another one. They're going on Spike. They're going on Spike. And like, I mean, they better at least put up a fight for Eddie Alvarez. It's like you're going on a network and you're going to lose your biggest star before you go on the network. The guy that you had on when you were on whatever it was, what did they start on that Spanish station? Remember when they were started on that on one of those Spanish stations that nobody got? Before they ever got on MTV, before they ever got on, they were on Fox Sports at first. So it was like, wasn't it Fox Deportes or something that they may have started on? I don't remember. They were on some Spanish station that nobody got. And they signed Eddie Alvarez for all this
ESPN
money.
Deportes.
ESPN Deportes. Okay. So they signed Eddie Alvarez for all this money. Then they're about to go on Spike, and they're going to let Eddie Alvarez go? Well, I mean, I guess UFC is going to bid so high that they have no choice. I guess that's how it's going to the inevitability of it. But you know, what does that say? I mean, when they signed Eddie Alvarez originally, I mean, UFC wanted Eddie Alvarez, and they signed him for, which was over $100,000 to fight. You know, UFC goes, oh my God, you know, come on, Eddie Alvarez, $100,000 to fight, nobody knows him, you can have him. You know, that was kind of like the reaction. So now that I'm not saying he's a star, but he's a bigger star than he was then. And you know, now the UFC wants him just to whatever. He's a bigger star. They want him, and I'm sure that taking him away from the company that's on Spike isn't, you know, it's probably something that they want to do anyway. So there you go. But you know, just
all right.
It's just the whole thing's a mess.
All right, one more here. This person says, was there ever any serious consideration for putting the belt on Owen during the 1994 Brett Owen feud?
I never heard. I never heard it suggested at all. You got to remember on that whole feud, the Brett Owen feud, is that this is not something that the company wanted to do. They wanted Brett to feud with a brother. Okay, that was their idea, Brett to feud with a brother. And they figured that Bruce could be a good heel. Because they, you know, Bruce always, you know, to them, Bruce was a heel. Because Bruce just would, you know, Bruce was, it's just how Bruce is. So they would do that. And Brett just went in there and just goes, it's not going to work with Bruce. It's not going to work. We got to do Owen. And they were like, it's not going to work with Owen. It's not going to work with Owen. And he's like, no, I'll make it work. You know, because to them, Owen was, you know, they saw Owen as like a first match guy. You know, as talented as he was in that era, you know, they just saw him as a first match guy. And, you know, Owen, you know, he'd actually made Owen's career, got him out of the prelims or mid card or wherever he was kind of stuck, and it made him into a guy. But no, I never heard at all that, you know, they didn't even want him in the feud. They're not about to make him world champion, because in those days it wasn't like everybody gets the world title. It was, you know, getting the world title was a little harder. So no.
All right, everybody, we're going to wrap it up for today, but we have a lot of stuff coming up over the next couple of days. We've got a lot of various radio shows, including Adam Pearce will be on tomorrow to talk about his Best of 7 series that is about to wrap up in Australia with Colt Cabana. We'll be talking to him about that. And, of course, all of the usual shows as well. New Figure 4s, new Observers. Lots of stuff coming up, so check it out, everybody. And we'll talk to you again after a while.